Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills that are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 110, Amateur Privilege. All right, quick reminders here to download my book on Amazon. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. You can also find me on Gab now, and this show is now heard on the podcast platform Deezer. And don't donate your hard-earned money to the show unless you wanna, but please share my posts on Instagram and Facebook and spread the gospel about the show. Okay, fans first. Two special shout-outs on today's show. The first one to Tanya Baldwin-Foos of Cleveland, Ohio. Now, she's the owner at Grade Power Learning in Fairview Park. And more importantly, a friend of mine from back in the day when we used to co-host a local Northeast Ohio TV show together called North Coast Rocks. It was kind of a localized MTV, if you will. I know I have old VHS tapes of clips from that show, but I've just moved back recently and I just can't find them. Not to mention, she was a badass lead singer with her band back in the day called Shadow Play, and somehow she has not aged even 1 year. So metal keeps you young, I'm telling you. And speaking of people who don't age, here's another shout out to Jeanette Guglielma Costello of Magnolia, Ohio at Premier Studio Salons. Now, total pro for sure. In fact, here is a post I found on social media that she mentioned that is chock full of my religion, common sense. Here you go. She says, major retailers like Kohl's and Bed Bath & Beyond refuse to sell MyPillow products, a company that is American-made and employs many people, but these retailers are refusing to sell his products because of Mike Lindell's political views. He's the owner of MyPillow. She says, yet they have no problem selling products made in China, whose communist leaders have committed genocide, a country that gives their citizens no voice and controls everything they do. Tell me how that helps America again? Well said, Jeanette. And if you have a post, thought, or sentiment based on common sense, and you think it's of pro status, email it to me, lou@lousantini.com. Before we get started with the topics, I do have a quick correction. In episode 108, I was listening to it. It's episode 108, Pro Lives Matter, Return from Hiatus. I incorrectly referred to the storming of the castle to the White House on January 6th when I meant to say the Capitol building. Heat of the moment, I guess. I pictured one thing and I said something else, but I'm nothing if not detail-oriented and handsome. Topic number one. Remember when amateurs were hoarding toilet paper and hand sanitizer, and worse, profiteering on the sales of both? Oh, it was a different time then. I keep hearing that. That was a different time, Lou. We didn't know what was going to happen. Those are two comments I've heard over and over again. That's the excuse for looting, hoarding, and profiteering. It was a new experience, a different time, we didn't know. So, when an emergency hits and you resort to shit-canning all forms of decency and humanity because it's new, all bets are off, I guess. Common sense, decorum, manners, politeness, love thy neighbor, treating people with decency and calm, adios. Those are absolutely the amateurs who have made this bad situation worse and quite literally identified themselves inadvertently as to who causes all the biggest problems in the world. Duh. The man I heard at the grocery store on the first week of quarantine in March of 2020 who said loudly into his speakerphone in the middle of the grocery store, "It's every man for himself, man, I'm telling you." He is the problem. The people who are doing life wrong. The speed bumps of life. The people that are in your way every day. The unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen, victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, no common sense, no manners, and no social skills and are disturbing the flow of the prose. That's why it's in the intro every episode. That's that guy. That's all the people who were hoarding and looting and profiteering toilet paper and hand sanitizer. Those are the bad people. Those are the amateurs. Those are the people who I would, without hyperbole, say, ah, now I know exactly who the detriments to society are. You are showing your character. And since the quarantine hoax began, you've encountered, what, hundreds if not thousands of these types daily in real life and on social media? These are the mask shamers, the rioters, the looters, the emotional, the people in denial of election and voter fraud, the people who were quick to put a black screen on their social media page to support BLM, which, by the way, where did they go? Oh, they're busy trying to get the attention of the political party that sold them out, while they also hide billions with a B that they raised, as opposed to putting it back into the black communities like they say they should, where jobs, food, social programs, cleanup, and safety are sorely needed, like Baltimore, Detroit, Minneapolis, Chicago, should I go on? The people who'd rather talk over you with emotion than deny facts and real science. The sheep. The weak-willed. The people who now see Aunt Jemima, the Muppets, the Cleveland Indians, Mr. Potato Head, and Dr. Seuss as the real problems. The statue destroyers. The people who are amazingly silent now that they see not only are things not better, but much worse. As long as your 10-month temper tantrum got you what you wanted. Well, be careful what you wish for. The moment people started hoarding toilet paper and hand sanitizer and other items, and by the way, sure, we pros might have had to buy a little extra, but we all know the difference between that and taking your arm on the shelf and sliding all of its contents into your shopping cart so no one else has a chance. What was it from 2 weeks ago? As long as you don't hurt me or my kid? But that moment, the hoarding, separated the amateurs from the pros. If you hoarded, or worse, profited from the shortage, you always have been, and probably always will be, an amateur. You should be embarrassed then, and you should be really embarrassed now. Topic number two. I might have to rename this show Surrealism Nation. Here's your headline from pinknews.com, and a million other websites. Oreo whips snowflakes into a frenzy by simply declaring trans people exist. The show gets more bizarre each week. On Thursday, February 25th, Oreo tweeted, "Trans people exist." How about that sentence, huh? A cookie. Yes, a cookie company, but a cookie has taken not even a political stance, but just became that annoying drunk person at a party that just chimes in a conversation. Yeah, right? You ever been there? You're at a party, right? You're all talking about, I don't know, say last week's NFL game. You're just talking stats and figures. You're recalling spectacular plays or questioning and arguing a coach's decision. And here comes this drunky guy, comes over and says, "What are you talking about?" "Yeah, football!" Oreo is the drunk at a party. And note that Oreo didn't take a stand by saying something like, "Trans people should have the same rights as men and women," which, guess what? They already do. But they took the easy surface route and basically said, being trans is a thing. Yeah, so is being tall or blonde or stupid, as Oreo has shown us. But thanks to an overrated, bland, dry cookie that annihilates your teeth after consumption, we now know trans people do indeed exist. Like, I don't know, I'm looking out my window here, trees, sidewalks, and amateurs. Do I really need to read from the article? Doesn't the idea that cookies are chiming in on such a non-issue scream the need for attention? Here's your translation. Don't forget, Oreos exist. Thanks for the reminder. Now I know never to buy your crappy wafers. Not that I ever did. Anyway, the article says, Oreo gave no context to the tweet, although many interpreted that it was a reference to a House vote the same day to pass the Equality Act, which expands the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. Not a bad thing. One amateur tweeted, "Roses are red, conservatives are pissed because Oreo said trans people exist." You know what conservatives are thinking? And B, I guarantee you what a cookie thinks about anything isn't even on their list of concerns. C, I'm guessing that this took this amateur's entire day to come up with that stupid rhyme. And D, pissed? I think you're looking for the sentiments, hate having their intelligence insulted, or embarrassed by the sentiment, or find it ludicrous that a cookie company needs to chime in, but I guess that's harder to rhyme. What would amateurs do without Twitter, huh? I'll wrap with this. Hey, Cookie, shut the fuck up. I'll eat you for lunch. Literally. Funny how all the fights against the isms, racism, sexism, etc., used to have real meaning. Sincerity, passion, cogent arguments. When a cookie is lecturing me about society, these isms have officially become fashion. I can't take you amateurs seriously anymore. You're shameful. And P.S., Chips Ahoy is the greatest mass-produced cookie of all time. Topic number 3. Aunt Jemima. Chief Wahoo. Mrs. Butterworth. Uncle Ben. Mr. Potato Head. Dr. Seuss. The Muppets. What do all these have in common? Yes, none of these are racist, but all have been canceled, censored, or changed to appeal to the easily offended amateur nation. From APnews.com, the title is this: 6 Dr. Seuss books won't be published for racist images. 6 Dr. Seuss books, including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, will stop being published because of racist and insensitive imagery. The business that preserves and protects the author's legacy said Tuesday. These books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong, Dr. Seuss Enterprises told the Associated Press in a statement that coincided with the late author and illustrator's birthday. The article goes on, ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families, it said. Aw, everyone's special and everyone's the same and everyone has to be pandered to. This is where the amateurs have said, well, Lou, they themselves are ceasing publication. And to that I ask, why now? They just now deem it inappropriate? The same way Disney just now realized after purchasing the rights to the Muppets that they're evil? And by the way, who gets to decide this shit? All of a sudden, we just got word Dr. Seuss is bad. Oh, did we? By who? One person? I don't remember voting on this. Why does anyone get to or have to decide what's right for law-abiding, tax-paying adult American citizens? You parents, you're okay with being told what you and or your kids can read? You don't feel insulted that you're being undermined by corrupt, unaccredited people in the pocket of communist China, the politicians? You think that they haven't knocked on your door and taken one book that you're okay? Are you really okay with the government or any organization telling you, an American, probably an adult voting American, what to read and what's okay? You're okay with that. Well, they're looking out for a bit. No, they're not. You were looking out for your own best interest. They're telling you, you don't know what's right for you. We know what's right for you. And you're okay with that? They're coming for your music, TV, and movies next. They've already come for your children's brains. Wake up. Keep telling yourself it's their right because it's free enterprise. Right? You know, you can't have it both ways, amateurs. You can't have companies have their products and or services or logos slash trademarks canceled because it's okay in the name of capitalism and then have those very actions taken by nameless, faceless, what? Politicians, committees, idiots on social media? Amateur Nation, listen carefully. I don't know why amateurs would be listening to this show, but I hope at least one is. You can burn, break, hide, cancel, censor all the information, statues, products, logos you want. It will never change pros' use of their common sense, their knowledge of past history and pop culture. It simply changes nothing. Well, dude, if it doesn't change anything, why are you so concerned about it? Because it's all part of a bigger movement, and you know it is, communism. Control the message is one thing. Control the medium that controls the message is the next level. Next thing you know, they'll take my thoughts away. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth and the song Holy War is the Punishment Due. You amateurs aren't noticing the full court press since the election. I can't even keep up with the idiocy since I only do 3 topics per week and this show is only once a week. I mentioned the ones that speak to me or are at the forefront of conversations. Books have been banned in Burbank, California. Banned. You can't get, Grapes of Wrath? Or Of Mice and Men? To Kill a Mockingbird? Classic American literature here? banned, that's okay with you? Oh, because it doesn't affect you? You don't feel like reading that book anyway? Censorship and cancel culture affects everyone. If they can cancel anyone or censor anyone, they can cancel or censor everyone. It's all under the guise of shielding us and protecting us from words? Ideas? Yeah, there it is. Thoughts? Art? Oh, and you can bet art is going to get canceled and destroyed next. The article continues. The other books affected are McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. I really don't remember any of these books, but whatever. The decision to cease publication and sales of the books was made last year after months of discussion. The company, which was founded by Seuss's family, told the Associated Press. They said Dr. Seuss Enterprises listened and took feedback from our audiences, including teachers. Oh, yeah, the all-powerful teachers union that doesn't want to go back to work. Academics. Okay. And specialists in the field. I need names. What, there's a Dr. Seuss specialist now in the field of what? Fantasy educational books? As part of our review process, we then worked with a panel of experts, I need names, including educators, that means nothing, to review our catalog of titles, it said. No, you didn't. You didn't do any of that. No. You did none of those things. If you did, you would have said, we spoke to A, B, C, D, and E. And after 8 months of this, here's the data that we found. And we interviewed hundreds of thousands of Americans on the street. Those are the people that matter, not these fucking educators who just want to get their name publicized somewhere and published in an article and talked about on a podcast. That never happened. Don't believe that shit. Don't believe it. Nice try, amateurs. Here's what happened. Here's what Dr. Seuss Enterprises did. You got a call from, pick one, a high-powered politician who threatened you, B, a high-powered politician who paid you off, C, some social justice warrior who threatened to ruin the remaining Dr. Seuss catalog. Nice try, amateurs. And frankly, if what Dr. Seuss Enterprises said is indeed true, who says you at Dr. Seuss Publishing have to listen to them? It's your company. What happened to, well, Twitter has a right to censor. It's their own company. It's private business. It's free enterprise. Well, Dr. Seuss is a private business. It's not owned by the public. It's not a government-run author, a publishing company. They don't have to listen to people or bow to pressure. Who the fuck are they? What happened to, it's their company. They have a right, like Twitter, remember? So, they kowtow to the noisy minority rather than the loyal majority that supported you all these years? I hate disloyalty. You want some hate speech? There it is. That's hate speech. I hate disloyalty. How you would have a problem with that, I have no idea. Who likes disloyalty? That's hate speech. Yep, I told you. Hate speech is when you say the words, I hate blank. Well, you know what? I hate disloyalty. And so does even an amateur should hate disloyalty. This is why I never understand why companies offer new customers the deal of the century, but longtime customers get their rates increased. See, every company. Amateurs want everything easy. From the 30 truths about amateurs from my book number 6, amateurs are fragile and easily offended. Why is the United States adjusting to the weak-willed, the average, the entitled, those who want everything to be the same, incomes, everyone gets a trophy, everyone has the same social status, politics, sexuality, etc.? Why? Because they fear competition. And that's number 18 from the 30 truths about amateurs. They fear mediocrity because they know they are indeed mediocre. They're only happy if everyone is on the same level of them, and that is miserable or average. Now that is some narcissism. That is absolute narcissism. They're saying you, who I don't know nor will ever meet, must live by my rules and standards of acceptable behavior and thought so I can breathe easier rather than having to grow a set. I'd rather be average, just having my work, thoughts, and ideals done for me, for what I perceive to be security, when it's really socialism or even communism. Name one communist country where the people are known to be happy in any era. Email it to me with facts, real-life accounts, I'm all ears. Amateurs know they have nothing of real value to offer. So rather than offering anything, they just want what you have, or they don't want you to have what you do have, or they don't want you to have more. Because they won't strive for more. They don't want to compete. They're lazy. That's number 17. Amateurs hate work. Number 11. Amateurs think no one is special and everyone should be treated equally at all times, regardless of circumstance. But don't forget, number 12, amateurs are special. Time now for some quickies. So let me get this straight. An actor who plays a bigot or a racist or a sexist or a violent rapist or murderer or a slave owner in a TV show or a movie is okay, but a comedian, through humor, can't comment on racism, sexism, slavery, rape, murder, etc., through the art of comedy, whether on stage or on their own social media platform, be it his or her comedic character, for example, Dice Clay, or an exaggerated caricature of oneself, which, by definition, is what comedians are. A concentrated version of their intelligence, shyness, awkwardness, angst, anger, sarcasm, wit, silliness, political incorrectness, or whatever. It's a concentrated version of whatever the essence of, for me, it's sarcasm. I mean, I'm not just sarcastic. I'm friendly and romantic and sentimental and nostalgic and chill sometimes and high energy and I can be silly and goofy, but the essence of my comedy is wit and sarcasm, and it's concentrated. Some people are good storytellers. Some are really silly. Some think in a completely different way, like a Mitch Hedberg, right? You're getting a concentrated version of them. That's not the only thing they are when they're on stage. But now we know who the real actors are and who the real performers are that audiences really pay attention to and react to. I guess that's why you don't see audiences complaining as much about actors and their roles as they do comedians. You don't see people trying to cancel actors who play characters in movies yet. But they feel that a comedian, that's closer to real life, so that's fair game. What are amateurs so afraid of? We're not afraid of anything, we're just mad. You don't even know what you're mad about. You're mad because social media told you to. Because you watch so much YouTube and TikTok and everything else in the internet, you're just like, well, this is what they're talking about, so this is what I should probably be railing against. As I said, if you're so afraid of someone's beliefs that you'll censor or cancel it, either A, you're worried that their view is indeed correct, thereby making you wrong, the horror, and B, you're worried that it's correct and you might have to change your view, telling us pros that your view on something probably wasn't that strong to begin with, and you're easily swayed, which, as we've seen by the sheep wearing masks alone in the car or walking alone outside, are indeed. Still waiting for the explanation of this insanity. When I go grocery shopping, they will bag my groceries for me in plastic bags. They don't have the paper option at my grocery store here in Ohio, so I guess that's baggist. Pick one. I hate plastic bags because, one, they break and tear easily. Two, they hold at maximum three items. And three, they're not good for the environment. So I bring my recyclable bags. But they won't touch them because if they do, they'll die of COVID. So they can touch all the food that I touch while I'm taking it off the shelves in their stores, but my bags of death. Alert Pro Rachel Sibical recently sent me a short video of a woman picking up her Starbucks order at a drive-thru window. Here is the actual audio between the female customer and the male amateur Starbucks drive-thru employee. Here it is.
Hi.
Gentlemen?
No, I don't.
I can give you one.
You can give me one?
I can give you one. I need you to wear a mask.
So you can hand me a mask?
I can hand you one, yeah.
But you can't hand me the drink without a mask?
You've got to wear a mask.
How does that make any sense?
I just need you to wear a mask. Do you mind?
Well, if you can hand me a mask, why can't you just hand me the drink?
I can hand you the mask.
The best moment is when he knows it's dumb, but he has no logical answer. Yeah, I don't want to hear, well, Lou, he's just doing his job. No. That's ludicrous. Your mask argument is blown. By the way, sidebar, you woke amateurs, you're the minority on the planet. You're wrong about everything. You just got big mouths, that's all. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Athlean X on YouTube. All right, so we've all had to make concessions when it comes to fitness over the last year, whether our gym being closed for no good reason due to shutdown hoaxes, or you just can't afford a gym from not being able to work due to shutdown hoaxes, and add to that the holidays, and maybe you've put on a few pounds. For me, I was just simply looking for new ways to go to the gym and new exercises to do in the gym. I hate going to the gym, but I'm always glad that I'm at the gym once I'm there, and I'm always happy that I went afterwards, right? The best way to keep me going to the gym is to give me variety in my workouts. right? Especially if those new exercises will take away the injuries, soreness, or not quite right feelings you sometimes get after doing certain exercises. Enter Jeff Cavallari of AthleanX on YouTube. His videos address everything from how to correct back posture, build bigger biceps, and everything in between. And I mean everything. I basically pick one that I watch. If I'm doing like legs and shoulders on one day, I'll watch some of his videos on that, get some ideas for some new exercises. And, you know, correcting posture and getting rid of tension headaches and good stretches if you have a bad back. It's such good stuff, and it's free. You just subscribe to his YouTube page. Not only does he show you how to do these exercises the right way, but I like the fact that he gives you the why they are the right way and why maybe your old way was the wrong way. And usually the way I've been doing it has been wrong. After one workout, I can see the differences with less pain too. And many of the tips he gives you, you can do at home with little or even no exercise equipment. So I recommend it. Subscribe to his channel. Mention my name and this show. You won't regret it. And it's free. Number two. Can We Take a Joke? That's the title of a documentary available on Amazon, and I recommend watching it now before, watch for it, they're going to yank it. It stars a lot of big-name comedians, but especially Gilbert Gottfried, who I think is highly underrated, Penn Jillette, Jim Norton, Lisa Lampanelli, Heather McDonald, Adam Carolla, and other comedians discuss how humor and free speech have come under attack. And keep in mind, this documentary is from 2015, 6 years ago, and you'll see how much worse it's gotten, not just for comedians, but for all U.S. citizens. If you're hell-bent on making sure no one has fun anymore, you won't like this. Number three. And now my favorite sound of all time. Here it is. It's the return of the NHRA. I almost want to cry. I always tear up at the first race and every time I'm at the track. The National Hot Rod Association drag racing season starts today, March 14th, albeit in Gainesville, Florida, which is a storied track for sure. But to me, it's just not quite the same without it starting and ending at the birthplace of drag racing, Southern California, in Pomona. California is now too worried about letting the homeless and criminals run amok, so take note, America, Florida is doing it right. As I've said, NHRA is everything right about America. Speed, power, not man versus machine, but man merging with machine. Guts, determination, pushing limits, diversity, inclusion, fearlessness, roots, reverence, patriotism, family, sportsmanship, humility, and the sweet, sweet smell of nitro. Make no mistake, pros, God drives top fuel. You can watch drag racing on Fox Sports 1. A lot of fan contribution in this week's show, and I think in the future as well. So if you have a topic, or you read or saw something, or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or you have a post that you believe is totally pro, and you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com, and download my book from Amazon. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 14, maybe 15 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. So remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a big, major production.